offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. We're going through the 1991 summer course series. We've been through two discourses so far. We started the third discourse, and for those of us who've been with us in this season of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, you would know that it's a step up in the syllabus. As we go through the discourse, we can see that it's becoming even more profound, and it definitely needs all our attention. And I think with all of that, it still would be a challenge to understand and follow Swami. But as always, with prayers to Swami, we will begin this journey again today for this week's show. Now, before that, as always, Sai Prakash is here. I'll invite him to join all of us. Saram, Sai Prakash.
Saram, Prem, what you said is perfectly right. In fact, as we go through this discourse, and as India is batting, they are facing tough balls, and we are facing tough topics, I would say.
Right.
And some of them are going bouncers.
Absolutely. In fact, Swami starts this discourse itself by saying that for the visible world, for everything that is phenomenal, which is seen and seeable, mm-hmm. there is something which is hidden.
Yes.
And that forms the essence of what is seen. And it's really quite obvious in that sense. In fact, mm-hmm. In the previous discourse, Swami speaks about the pramanas, the different types of pramanas,
right.
and how God is beyond all those pramanas, and that's why he's called aprameya.
Yes.
One of the pramanas which Swami would very often refer to is, that the inference of that which is unseen.
Okay.
A typical example is when you walk into a forest mm-hmm. and you see a group of cranes, Swami would say, which means there is a water body nearby.
Right.
Or you see a smoke rising from somewhere, you know that something is burning.
Correct.
So this is, you don't see it, you always infer.
Yes.
Like, you're living in a village which is downstream.
Mm-hmm.
And there is suddenly a flood in the river. You know that upstream there was rain. You have not seen the rain, you have not felt the rain.
Right.
But you're able to infer. So
yes.
Swami says that, even in the previous discourse Swami said that, to believe only in that which is seen is actually a very senseless thing to do.
Right. I mean, Swami, this discourse itself is called Tattvamasi. And as we studied the last time, last week, there are several layers of this Tattvamasi. And it's almost as if Tattvamasi is true in every sense. You talk of it as a body, mind and soul. Then you talk of Tattvamasi as that thou art. Then Swami gives Bhukti, Mukti, Rakti.
Right.
And there is Jiva, Deva, Prakriti. It's like a triangle. And there are several layers to this triangle. And Tattvamasi is something which is common at all levels.
Right.
It's fascinating because Swami's telling us how the rishis, although they understood its complete depth and they experienced this Tattvamasi, how they tried to explain to us using various analogies and various simple examples through which we could relate to and understand them. And then Swami gives this beautiful example of the water cycle. I mean, it's something maybe a third or fourth standard student will learn in his class. But that simple example of the water cycle, it again reflects Tattvamasi.
Right. And Swami also speaks about the fruit and the root.
Mm-hmm.
And how, the leaf can say to the fruit.
Correct.
The root can say to the fruit, Tattvamasi.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says, in the same way, it is like, it is a relationship between God and man. In fact, before all of that, Swami says, this kind of this purity can be seen in children.
Very true.
It's so, I think, symbolic too. Because if you look at a child, mm-hmm. It's always very fascinating mm-hmm. to think of a child being born. And, it's just coming from one life form. You don't
right.
know where that division happens, where that separation happens.
Right.
For 30 years, 25 years, there is this one life form living.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly another life form forms inside, and there it has a separate soul for itself. Right. It has a separate existence for itself. When does that separation happen? And if you go by what Swami is saying here, Swami says the children have that purity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, after that separation happens, you are still in that pure state,
mm-hmm,
where the duality has occurred, but it has not yet occurred in the mind.
Correct.
And then you go through a process of, we call it education, but clearly it is a phase of misinformation, where you're given an identity.
Right.
You know, you're told the child, you know, this is your name. You're given a name. Till then you don't have a name.
You don't have
your,
a name.
A name is stuffed down your throat, and you're told various things. You know, you belong to this caste, you belong to this religion, you belong to this family, and this is what you are, this is your color, and this is what it is. And all the time you are being fed with this idea which gives you a separate identity.
In fact, I believe Swami has made an observation about children. He says they have no desires and they are under no illusion about the importance of their bodies. I mean, they are really not concerned, or of course when it comes to hunger or few basic requirements. Other than that, they are in a way oblivious of their own bodies. They are so in tune with what they see. They are so one with what they experience. They forget their own bodies.
Mm.
And possibly that's the reason why Jesus Christ said, let the children come to me,
right,
because their pure souls, that represents, the quality of heaven, possibly.
Right.
So he says, the kingdom of heaven.
Right. I remember in our undergraduate, there used to be a poem,
mm-hmm,
about a child, a very simple poem, where he kind of describes what a child does when it's lying down.
Okay.
And he says that, the wonderment of the child,
mm-hmm,
when it realizes that the control of this body is within it.
Uh-huh.
You know, when it looks around, it looks at the various objects, it, mm-hmm, looks at various people, then it suddenly looks at its own feet,
mm-hmm,
and sees that, hey, you know, this is moving along with me. You know, I have a control over moving it. And of course, he doesn't speak about the idea of doership or, you know, the idea of what Swami is speaking here.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that wonderment of the child, you know. The child puts catches its own leg and puts it in the mouth,
mm,
and then it feels that, you know, there is a connection. You know, I bite it, I can feel it.
Right.
You know, any other object I bite, I don't feel it. This,
mm,
I feel it.
Mm.
And that slowly that idea of, you know, this body is mine. And when you say that they don't have this idea that this body is what we are,
mm,
how over a period of time it grows, and it's not wrong in that sense. Like, you know, when Swami speaks about the water cycle, when Swami, mm, speaks about the seed growing into the tree, eventually giving the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a natural process, but Swami says that to observe this and say that a division has happened, diversification has happened, I think is missing the point completely.
In fact, I'm not really remembering it to the point, but it is somewhat like this. When somebody asked Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj about children,
mm-hmm,
so he said, yes, there is pure consciousness. There is pure consciousness and absolute purity in the child, but the child is not aware in that sense.
True.
So what's the difference between a child and a realized person? So the realized person is aware of his divinity, and the realized person is able to consciously live in that state of awareness.
True.
While the child is there because there is no contamination, there is pure consciousness.
Right. In fact, somebody asked a spiritual master about the state of children who are, you know, specially abled,
mm-hmm,
or retarded children.
Right.
Because they seem to be in that extended period of childhood. You know?
Yes.
Many of them, they say that this person will be stuck in the thinking of a 6-year-old or thinking of a 2-year-old.
Mm.
The children who are like that, they were 16 years old, but their mind is of a 2-year-old. You kind of feel that probably are they stuck in that stage of purity for 2 years?
Mm.
A spiritual master says that no, it's not the case, because they're not aware of that.
Right.
As you said, the children are not aware of their happiness.
Mm.
He says that, you know, that soul which is journeying through the body,
mm-hmm,
it will know that it is an impediment.
Okay.
It will know that it's a period of suffering for it. So though, you know, mm, the being as such, the mind will not see the pain, the mind, mm, will be like a child. But the soul knows that it's a period where it is going through some karma, which is...
In fact, here there's another beautiful statement. Yeah, Swami brought the children in the context that they see unity.
Right.
The children see unity in everything. They don't differentiate. And as long as their basic needs are met, they're one. And so he connected that with Tattvamasi. And he said that there is absolute unity. And, you know, there is this beautiful analogy that can be drawn from where Swami is making this statement. He says, the rishis harmonized people's higher aspirations with everyday life through the teaching of Tattvamasi. He says, through Tattvamasi, they brought in the spiritual as well as the mundane life. It connected both these aspects. And one very good example that comes through is the life of Prahlad himself.
Right.
Because, you know, he offered everything to the Lord and constantly in tune with the Lord. So, tat tvam asi. So, you know, everything that he did was in sync. Because, yes, it's very complicated to go through a lot of these details.
Right.
But here is a solution. I mean, with love for the Lord, he was constantly in tune with the Lord, and what did he achieve? Tattvamasi, that's the same thing.
In fact, the way Swami uses Tattvamasi to explain this, you know, body, mind and Atma, as you said, you were talking about the devotee, devotion and the Lord.
Yeah.
Swami says the same thing, you know, the body is gross, the Atma is the most subtle, the mind is that which bridges the body with the Atma, and that's why Swami says Tat is the Atma. You know, Tvam is the body and Asi is the mind.
Mind that has.
So the mind's role is actually to, you know, connect this Atma with the mind. In fact, I just a few days back heard a person speaking about this, you know, the similarity between the story of Adam and Eve and the Upanishadic story of the two birds sitting on the tree.
Okay.
You know, there is that famous analogy of that bird which eats the fruit and relishes it, and the other bird which just watches the first bird eat and relish the fruit.
Right.
So you see, it's actually very similar to Adam and Eve's story.
Okay.
And where, you know, the other bird which is watching, it never flies away. You know, it's still watching. It's, you know, he says that, okay, you have indulged, you have done the thing, but I'm with you. I mean, I'm not going to go through the emotions the way you go through, but I'm with you. So he says it's very similar to what happens in the story of Adam and Eve. And he says that's why that, you know, the mind is the thing which connects the two. There is this one Jivatma which is like going through the ups and downs of life. But what you really are is that Atman, and this mind is that which connects the two.
Yeah, I mean, and Swami gives so many layers. And as you mentioned, the seed, the flower, the plant, the tree, and all this are all coming back into Tattvamasi. The leaf can say Tattvamasi, the seed can say Tattvamasi.
Jiva, Deva and Prakriti, that is one thing which Swami says.
Yes.
Then as you mentioned earlier, Bhukti, Mukti and Rakti.
And you know, in some other place, I think when Swami is speaking to the students, it's there in My Dear Students and in the chapter called Essence of Mahavakyas.
Okay.
So where Swami says, yes, Tattvamasi has been taken from Samaveda, and Samaveda is music, and music can connect Tat to us.
Oh, okay.
He says, music can connect Tat and Tvam. He says, that's a beautiful medium. And he says, but the music should be full of love. The music should be full of prema. Only then it can, he says, even it can, a sea can be connected, consummated in between. If you have Tat and Tvam, he says, through music you can bridge the gap. So that is one beautiful analogy.
Right. So I think we'll go to the next clip in the discourse. We played two clips. This will be the third clip in that discourse.
Unnadi vakkate. There is only one thing that exists. Anekatvanga rupandutu vastundari. It takes different forms. Anekatvamlo unnatundi ekatvame bharatiya samskriti yokka prabhavamu ani kudanu. Upanishad started declaring that the essence of Indian culture lies in unity, in diversity.
Kanuka, yekatvanni manam visvarinchi,
అనేకత్వాన్ని విశ్వసించి మన జీవితమును వ్యర్థం చేసుకుంటున్నాం.
We are wasting our life, forgetting this unity, spending all the time in diversity.
ఇక్కడ అకార ఉకార మకారములు.
Here there are three syllables, akara, ukara and makara.
ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క ఏక స్వరూపమే ఓంకారము.
The unity of all these three is omkara.
ఈ ఓంకారము యొక్క శబ్ద ప్రమాణమే ప్రణవము.
The sound proof of this omkaram is pranavam.
ఈ ప్రణవమే ప్రపంచ స్వరూపము.
This pranamu is very form of this world.
కనుక ఓంకారం అనేటువంటి స్వరూపమే ఈ జగత్తు.
This world is very form of omkaram.
ఇవి రెండు కూడాను దివి నుండి భూమి వరకు, భూమి నుండి దివి వరకు ప్రసారం జరుగుతూనే ఉంటుండాలి.
దీస్ టూ హ్యావ్ బీన్ ఫ్లోయింగ్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ స్కై టు ఎర్త్ అండ్ ఎర్త్ టు స్కై.
ఈ రెండింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వం లోపల ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని గుర్తించడమే నిజమైనటువంటి పురుషత్వము అని కూడాను ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చింది ఉపనిషత్తులు.
ఉపనిషత్స్ డిక్లేర్డ్ ద రియల్ వాల్యూ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ది యూనిటీ బిట్వీన్ ది టూ.
కారణం ప్రతి మానవుని ఎందుకు కూడాను ఈ ప్రణవ శబ్దము అనేటువంటిది నిశ్శబ్ద రూపంలో నిలిచి ఉంటుండాలి.
వాట్స్ ద రీజన్ దిస్ ప్రణవ ఇస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ సైలెన్స్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్?
ప్రణవం మనకు ఎక్కడా కనిపించడం లేదు, వినిపించడం లేదు అని మనం విచారించవచ్చు.
యు మే ఎంక్వైర్ దట్ యూ డోంట్ సీ ప్రణవం ఎనీవేర్, దట్ యూ డోంట్ లిసన్ టు ప్రణవ.
మన ఉచ్ఛ్వాస నిశ్వాసములు ఏమిటి?
వాట్ డు యూ మీన్ బై ద బ్రెత్?
మన యొక్క దేహంలో సంచరించేటువంటి యొక్క ఈ రక్తం యొక్క సంచారం ఏమిటి?
హౌ డు యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద బ్లడ్ సర్క్యులేషన్ ఇన్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ?
కనుక ఇవన్నీ కూడా ప్రణవమయమైనటువంటివే.
ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ ప్రణవ.
చెట్టు గాలి వీస్తుండాలి,
విండ్ బ్లోస్,
కానీ ఆ గాలి ఎందుకు కూడా ప్రణవనాదం మనం వినిపెడుతుండాలి.
ఈవెన్ ఇన్ ద విండ్ యూ హియర్ ద సౌండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రణవ.
ఒక ఎలక్ట్రిక్ పోల్ దగ్గరికి పోయి నీవు నిల్చుకొని నీ చెవు ఆ పోల్ పైన పెట్టినప్పుడు అని ఆ శబ్దాన్ని మనం వినగలుగుతున్నాం.
When you stand very close to an electric pole and listen, you listen to the sound of pranavamu, om.
Aithe ee pranavamunandu kevalamu konni kalpitamainatundi vaatini manamu kalpinchukorata cheta adi pranavanga roopondatam manam gurtinchatam ledu.
Because we imagine certain things, therefore we are not able to recognize omkaramu there, pranavam.
Mana nitya jeevithamlo uchvasa nishvasamlo jarugutunnavi.
In our daily life we breathe in and breathe out.
మనము గాలిని పీల్చుకునే సమయం లోపల అని పీల్చుకుంటున్నాం.
వెన్ వీ బ్రీద్ ఇన్ దేర్ ఇస్ సౌండ్ ఆఫ్ సో.
పీల్చున్నప్పుడు
వెన్ బ్రీద్ అవుట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ది సౌండ్ హమ్
సో హమ్ సో హమ్. ఇవి రెండింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వం లోపల ఇదే నిజమైనటువంటి ఓంకారం ఉంటుంది.
ద రియల్ ఓంకారం లైస్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ సో అండ్ హమ్, ది బ్రీదింగ్ అండ్ ప్రాసెస్. అండ్
సో అనేటువంటి పదము లోపల, హమ్ అనేటువంటి పదము లోపల ఉండినటువంటి అంతరార్థాన్ని మనం గుర్తుంచుకుంటే సో హమ్ అదే నేను, అది కూడా తాత్వత్వం అసే.
వెన్ వీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది ఇన్నర్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ టూ సో హమ్, దట్స్ ఈక్వల్ టు తత్వం.
తత్వం అసే అనేటువంటి మూడు అక్షరాల్లో ఉండేటువంటిది ఏకం ఇత్ ఒక అక్షరమే అని చెప్తున్నాం. ఇత్ ఏకాక్షరం బ్రహ్మ, ఒకే అక్షరం అని అంటున్నామే, ఇది ఏ విధంగా ఒక అక్షరం అవుతుంది?
ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ తత్వమసి కుడ్ బి సెట్ ఇన్ సింగిల్ వర్డ్, దట్ ఇస్ ఓంకార ద సింగిల్ వర్డ్, హౌ కుడ్ దట్ బి?
సో ఇందులోపల సాలోక్య సారూప్య సామీప్య సాయుధ్యములకు సంబంధించినటువంటి సకారం మైనస్ అవుతుంది.
In this first syllable, so, the sakara, the first syllable, is absent in all these four
forms. How does this sakara minus?
When it disappears?
Jagratanu marachi.
When we forget this waking state.
Nidravastalo nilchinappudu.
When we get into sleep.
Jagratta yokka manchi chedalanu manam vismarinchinappudu.
When we forget the good and bad of the waking state.
Ee so aneetvanti shabdamu lopala sakara minus ayipoyi kevalam oh avutundi.
When we forget all these things, the so, the sakara misses there and O remains.
Hum aneetvanti yokka nishwasam lopala ikkada hakaram minus avutundi.
In hum the second syllable, the akara.
జాగ్రత్తలో ఉండినంత వరకే సకార హకారములు ఈ యొక్క ఓంకారంతో లీనమవుతుంటాయి.
సో లాంగ్ వేర్ ఇన్ ది వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ we find sakara and hakara in
ee jagratanu vismarinchi
when we forget the waking state
sukshma avasthalo manavu ee gaadha nidralo undinappudu
when we enter into deep sleep
ee sakara hakaramu rendu kudunu antartharam avutayi
this sakara hakara they disappear
kanuka so aneetundi padamulo sakaram poyinappudu em avutundi o avutundi
so in this first syllable so when sakara disappears o remains
హం అనేటువంటి యొక్క నిశ్వాస లోపల హకారం పోయినప్పుడు అవుతుంది
ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ వన్ హం వెన్ హార్ట్ డిసపియర్స్ రిమైన్స్
ఓ ప్లస్ ఓం ఏకాక్షరం అయిపోయింది
దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇన్ దీస్ టూ ఓ ప్లస్ బికమ్స్ ఓం
సకారం హకారం రెండు చేరినప్పుడు సోహం అయిపోయింది ఈ సకార హకారం రెండు పోయినప్పుడు ఓం అయిపోయింది
విత్ సకార అండ్ హకార ఇట్ బికమ్స్ సోహం With these two words missing, it is remained
as home. Jagratta avasthalo undinanta varaku kudanu manavudu ee prakrutamainatuvanti jeevitamlo leelamaipoyi tadwara ee ekaksharam brahma anetuvanti satyanni marchipothunnadu.
In the waking state, man forgets the real nature and he has got the spirit of soham and forgetting omkara.
Ee prapancham mana drushtilo undinanta varake manaku kudanu dukkamulu aanandamulu.
So long there is this awareness of the worldly pleasures, you have got the pleasure in the pain.
ఏనాడు నిద్రావస్థలో మనం ప్రవేశిస్తామో అప్పుడు ఈ జాగ్రత్త ప్రపంచం మనకు మరుగైపోతుంది
ద మూమెంట్ యూ ఎంటర్ ఇంటూ డీప్ స్లీప్
జాగ్రత్త ప్రపంచం అనేటువంటిది మరుగైనప్పుడు మన యొక్క సుఖ దుఃఖములు కూడా మరుగైపోతాయి
వెన్ దిస్ వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ ఈస్ ఫార్ ఫ్రమ్ యూ యూ ఆర్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ద పెయిన్ అండ్ ప్లెజర్
పురస్కరించుకుని ఏ నిద్రే సమాధి స్థితి అన్నారు ఆ నిద్రావస్థ యందు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి సుఖము కానీ దుఃఖము కాని ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి యొక్క జగత్తు కాని మనకు కానరాక అనుభవం రాక నిలిచిపోయింటాయి
ఇన్ ద డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ యూ డు నాట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఎనీ పెయిన్ ఆర్ ప్లెజర్
కనుక మానవుడు దైవత్వాన్ని గుర్తించడానికి ఈ రికమైనటువంటి మార్గాన్ని మనం అనుసరించాలి
సో మ్యాన్ షుడ్ ఫాలో దిస్ పాత్ టు రియలైజ్ డివినిటీ
ది ఓన్లీ క్వశ్చన్ విచ్ రైజెస్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఆర్ వి డూయింగ్ Awake.
That's true. I mean, Omkara, as Swami has brought it out, so beautiful, so beautiful. I don't think we have this unique explanation given anywhere else.
Right. I mean, I can't credit myself for having heard many discourses, but for the few hundreds we've heard Swami speaking about Omkar, about Soham, but this particular explanation which Swami has given, how Soham becomes Om. I think it's very unique and so beautifully explained. You know, because we all know Swami says soham means there are two, you know, he and me, and Swami says that's how it is, reminding that you are the same. But at the same time, Swami is saying that how, you know, even that you and I exist only in the state where you see the duality, and that's in the waking state.
Very true. In fact, when we talk of Omkara, the letters written on the stupa come right in front of my face. It says, listen to the primeval pranava om resounding in your heart as well as in the heart of the universe. So those words, those beautiful words probably given by Swami himself, resounding in your heart as well as in the heart of the universe. So in that spirit, it's all one.
Right.
When you go back to Omkara, when you go back to that state of Omkara, there is absolute unity.
Right.
I think that's what it comes to.
And of course Swami goes on to say how that Omkara can be, you know, heard in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, of course, it's in the breath. Then you can hear it in the howling of the wind when
yes.
it's blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the electric pole. Of course, the other classic thing I think most of us would have heard is when you take a conch and put it to your ear.
Very true.
You know, you
Very
hear
true.
That thing. But again, it's not, in fact, you know, some of these, cosmologist,
yeah.
they will tell you
right.
that at the moment of Big Bang, and you know, when there was the sudden expansion, there is a sound which was created. You know, when objects move, you have that sound, just like how the wind is howling.
Right.
So they say that sound is actually audible even now, if you have this one.
Right.
And it's a fixed frequency. You know, wherever you hear in space, you will hear that sound. And they believe that is the basis of, you know, the entire creation.
It's like a ripple. In fact, the gravitational waves that
right.
were discovered, they said, for the first time we can hear creation, we can hear the universe.
Right.
And when they could actually translate that wave into a sound signal, it was just a click. It was just a click of that sort. They had to magnify it, I don't know how many times. But that sound was created 1.2 billion years ago. Can we believe it? I mean, it's so amazing. 1.2 billion years ago, due to the collision of two huge black holes and the combination of two black holes, this gravitational wave which was created, today we are able to hear that sound, and they say for the first time you're able to listen to the universe.
I think that's precisely how they would have discovered the Omkar itself, you know, the ancient sages.
Right.
Because you see, now they say you have the Hubble Space Telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very, so close the similarity between what you talk of the ancient sages and the Hubble Space Telescope. I was reading about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for many, many centuries, we had telescopes on the surface of the Earth.
Correct.
Which were trying to look into the sky, and they were seeing into, they would see how many light years into space you can see.
Right.
And the simplest, the reason they would do that is, like suppose I'm able to see 1,000 light years into space, I'm seeing 1,000 light years behind in creation.
Yes. More towards the
point of the beginning, the Big Bang, right?
Right?
So they found that after a certain distance, they are not able to see.
Hmm.
The reason is the light starts bending because of the Earth's gravitational force and the atmosphere.
Exactly.
It starts distorting, so they don't know whether, you know, they're seeing the light in its native form.
Hmm.
So that's when somebody said that, you know, the only way you can do it is put a telescope on space and let it send the digital images, you know, which will not be affected by the atmosphere.
Right.
So that's how the Hubble Space Telescope comes. They put it there, and now they say that, you know, 13.4 billion light years, the ultra deep field is the image which the Hubble Space Telescope has found. It's 13.4 billion, which means it's just 0.3 billion years before we can see
the Big Bang.
I mean, of course, the lot of other calculations, minus and plus, all of that. But that's how we've seen. But it's very similar to, you know, this what the rishis did. Because the rishis sat, and probably they would have, like how atmosphere was interfering with light, they found that my mind is actually interfering with the sound which is coming from the universe.
Beautiful.
You know, and they, you know, go through this process by which they silence the mind, and they say the first thing what we hear is Omkar.
Right.
It's almost like that. That's why it's called the, you know, primeval sound. The,
right.
You know, Pranavaya Swami is saying.
Yes.
And it can still be heard.
You know, as we're talking about science and about scientists, you know, we take their word without any argument. We accept what they say. He said, okay, this click is produced 1.2 billion years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
That's it. We just believe it, right?
We just believe it. And look at Swami. Swami is giving us such profound truths, and our sages as well. So how many of us actually tuned in and believed in what they said? And if we completely and actually believed in what Swami is saying, I don't know what we would be doing at this moment.
Yeah, I was listening to a talk by the famous journalist in Chennai, you know, Cho Ramaswamy.
Yes, yes.
No, he was talking, very pragmatic speaker. Mm-hmm. He was telling, you know, how can you as an individual stand up and say, I know everything, or I can know everything, or I am the, forget everything. How can you even say that I am the controller of my destiny? I mean, it is so obvious that there is some higher power which is ruling. See, I mean, here's a simple example, you know, you go to a running race, okay, and let's say that you get the first place and I get the second place. Did you get the first place without me becoming the second, getting the second place? He said, so, you know, how much ever you practice, your taking that first place depends on my losing.
Correct.
So he said, in everything that you achieve in life, a factor which is beyond your control is, you know, is a part of that victory. So he said, that is for every mundane activity. How can you say that I decide what to do? I am doing this. I wanted to become a doctor. I became a doctor. It's impossible, and it's meaningless to say that. And he, in fact, says of one incident which happened, you know, some people want to meet the Shankaracharya of Kanchi.
Okay.
You know, Paramacharya was there. Some people come from all the way from Delhi. They want to meet him. So he accompanies them. So, I mean, he has a lot of respect for him. But in the, you know, during the journey, he gets a doubt, it seems. He says one particular thing or what Paramacharya said or did, he did not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I have a lot of respect for him, but why did he do this?
Mm.
You know, it doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
Mm.
So, they had a discussion in the journey and they go.
Mm.
They go to his presence and the first thing he asks is, you know, oh, unless you know why I did that, your mind will not sit quiet. So, let me explain to you. he said, how do you explain that?
Mm.
How do you explain that? You know, he is sitting so many hundreds of miles away.
Mm.
How can any, there is something more than you can understand and reason.
Yeah, it's when you go beyond, as Swami said, salokyam, sarupyam, that S of that,
right,
that is in the
right.
Waking state. So when you go beyond that, there is that unity. But before that, there is this beautiful point about silence. And he says, Om is present within every individual as silence. I mean, I think we should just keep silent for a while and let Om sink in. It's so beautiful, so beautiful. You know, Swami has mentioned elsewhere, I believe, that in the state of Turiya,
okay,
Om exists as a letterless resonance which turns out into silence. So there, it's like a resonance. It's you cannot I would say define it by a letter. You
okay.
cannot define it by a pronunciation
mm-hmm.
or an a or ma or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It exists as a resonance in the state of Turiya. So it's like the only thing that exists. It's like the fabric that connects everything. It's the most basic underlying principle of entire creation, if I may say.
Mm.
It's I don't know if it's right to say it's the God particle or the God fabric or what it is. So it is the most basic aspect of everything. That is Omkara.
I mean, it's probably like, you know, you have a projector
mm-hmm.
and you want to see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Omkar probably is like that white screen.
Right.
You know?
Hmm.
It's not God as such, but it's the basis of everything. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we all are there. We all are projected on that.
Mm.
You know, we are all the time trying to. It's like the characters projected on the screen are trying to look for the screen. It's almost like.
In fact, there again, Nisargadatta Maharaj defines it. Means just expresses that experience in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Have you ever felt that this entire universe is just a speck on that consciousness which you are actually. That fabric, that basis, that Atman which you are, which is defined by something dark and which has nothing in it but has infinite potential." So, it's something so vast and so, it's all omnipresent rather. Omnipresent, dark, means absolutely nothing. Nothing defines it. It defines everything. But it is omnipresent. And he says, where this whole creation and this cosmos is just one small speck in that consciousness. It's difficult to imagine.
My God. I mean, to imagine that infinity is within each one of us. You know?
Right, right.
I mean, I always hear this, even when you take a flight, when you're mm-hmm. just about 3,000 feet, or even 1,000 feet above,
mm-hmm.
You know, ground.
Yes.
You suddenly realize how small man is.
Right.
You know, how small each one of us is. And at that time to think that, you know, I am infinite.
Mm.
I mean, you realize that you're so small, like a speck. And then to realize that infinity is within each one of us.
Very true. Hmm? In fact, Swami very beautifully says, Om is the phone.
Right, right.
Phone number. You want to dial directly hotline. You want
hotline,
a hotline
right?
to God. Om is the phone number. And another beautiful thing which Swami says in Dhyanavahini
mm-hmm.
is he says meditation. When you do, he clubs Namasmara and meditation as one exercise, one sadhana.
Okay.
There's no meditation without Namasmara. There's no Namasmara. Means Namasmara can lead to meditation that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he says before you chant the name of your chosen deity,
okay,
you should add Omkara in front of it. You should chant Om and then add the name of the deity whom you adore and visualize his form. And visualize his form right from the top till down and down to top. That's all is meditation. Nothing else is required. So, that's it.
Right. Of course, I don't know whether Swami is going to tell more about Soham, because so much Swami has said, you know. Mm. He would say that there's nothing more required. Just sit and observe your breath.
Breath, true.
You know, because it's telling you the truth. It's telling you the answer to the ultimate question is being told by your breath. And Swami would say that, you know, 21,000, I don't know that number, so many thousand times. Mm. You are telling yourself the answer, but you are not listening to it. Okay, we'll go to the next clip in that discourse. And let's see what Swami has to say further.
Upanishad. Ivi pedda pedda padamuluga undinatvanti danini chinna chinna vakyamuluga rodikarinchukoni behind sounding words have been combined samanyamainatvanti manavulaku to ordinary men nitya jeevitamulo in the daily life anubhutiki aanandamulaku anugunanga avi roopanduthu vachayi. They have been explained to his experience and to give him the bliss, the happiness.
Upa ni shakti.
The three things here, upa ni shakti.
Upa anaga samipam.
Upa means proximity.
Ni anaga krinda.
Ni means below.
Shat anaga kurcho.
Shat means sit down.
Anaga gurumunaku peddalaku vinayanga neevu anusarinchali aneetundi deeni yokka antarattham.
The inner meaning of this is you should show respect to your preceptors and elders.
Tura dure antakesha anindi vedam. Neeku bhagavantudu enta dooram ani neevu anukuntunnavo anta dooranga untunnadu. Bhagavantudu enta samipudani neevu bhavistunnavo anta samipuduga untunnadu.
The Veda declares, if you think that God is far away from you, he is really far away. If you feel that he is quite close to you, he is quite near.
Ee dooramunaku samipamunaku nee bhavamune kaani doshamu. భగవంతుడు ఏనాడు దూరము కాని దగ్గర కాని సర్వత్రా ఉంటున్నాడు.
ఇట్స్ ఓన్లీ యువర్ ఫీలింగ్స్ టు టేక్ హిమ్ ఫార్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్ నియర్. ఫర్ గాడ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నైదర్ దీస్ టూ థింగ్స్. ఈస్ క్వైట్ క్లోజ్ టు.
అణువులో అణువుగా ఘనములో ఘనముగా ఉంటున్నాడు.
ఈస్ ది స్మాల్ అమంగ్ అన్ ఆటమ్ అండ్ లార్జెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లార్డ్.
కనుకనే అణోరణీయాన్ మహతో మహీయాన్. ఇలాంటి దివ్యమైనటువంటి ఒక తత్వాన్ని ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను పరిశోధనలు చేసి విచారణ సలిపి శ్రద్ధాపత్తితో దీనిని విచారణ చేయాలనుకున్నప్పుడు తప్పక దానిని అర్థం చేసుకుంటారు.
మ్యాన్ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇఫ్ హి ప్రొసీడ్స్ అండ్ మేక్స్ ఎ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎంక్వైరీ విత్ ఆల్ ది డివోషన్ అండ్ సిన్సెరిటీ ఆఫ్ హార్ట్.
ఈనాటి మానవుడు తెలుసుకున్నట్టు ఏమాత్రము ప్రయత్నించడం లేదు.
బట్ టుడే మ్యాన్ ఇస్ నాట్ మేకింగ్ ఎన్ ఎఫర్ట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్.
ఈ అనిత్యము అశాశ్వతము అసత్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క జగత్ వ్యాపారములు యందు తమ సమస్తమును కూడా అంకితంగా ఆవిస్తున్నాడు.
Man is dedicating his life, spending all the time in this ephemeral, transitory, temporary
thing. కానీ నిత్యసత్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యమైనటువంటి మార్గమునందు తన కాలమును అణుమాత్రమైన కూడాను అంకితం చేయటం లేదు.
He is not spending a moment of time to contemplate on that which is permanent, that which exists, that which is true.
ఇదే మానవుని యందు ఏర్పడినటువంటి అశ్రద్ధ.
This is lack of sincerity of purpose.
కనుకనే జ్ఞానము శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే జ్ఞానం. శ్రద్ధ కలిగినటువంటి వానికే జ్ఞానం లభ్యమవుతుంది.
Therefore one can have wisdom if he has steadfastness or shraddha.
Shraddha lenappudu e maatram kudanu samipamulo undinatvanti danni kudanu manam anubhavinchalemu.
When there is no shraddha or steadfastness, even though it is close to you, you cannot experience.
Kanuka manavudu tanaku ashantiki moola kaaranam emito gurtinchadaniki tagina prayatnam cheyatam ledhu.
Man is not making an effort to understand why he lost peace.
Brahma manasa putrudainatti naradudu సర్వకళా పరిపూర్ణుడైనప్పటికీ సర్వశాస్త్ర ప్రవీణుడైనప్పటికీ అప్పుడప్పుడు అతనిలో అశాంతి పెళ్లుపుకుతూ వచ్చింది.
నారద దో బీయింగ్ ఎ స్కాలర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ వేదాస్ అండ్ శాస్త్రస్ హీ టు డింట్ హ్యావ్ పీస్ అట్ వన్ టైం.
కానీ ఈ అశాంతికి కారణం ఏమిటో గుర్తించాలని సనత్ కుమారు దగ్గరికి వెళ్లాడు.
టు నో ద కాజ్ ఫర్ ద అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ పీస్ హీ అప్రోచ్ సనత్ కుమార.
సనత్ కుమార నా అశాంతికి కారణమేమిటో బోధించి దానిని నిర్మూలము గావించి దానికి తగినటువంటి జ్ఞానాన్ని ప్రసాదించమని ప్రార్థించాడు.
హీ ప్రేయర్ సనత్ కుమార్ ప్లీజ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ వై ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ పీస్ టెల్ మీ ద వే టు అక్వైర్ దట్ పీస్ అండ్ బీ హ్యాపీ.
అప్పుడు సనత్ కుమార్ నారదుని ప్రశ్నిస్తాడు, నారద నీ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఏమిటి, నీవు ఏమేమి చదివావు, నీలో ఏమేమి అర్హత ఉంటుండాలి అని ప్రశ్నించాడు.
దెన్ సనత్ కుమార్ క్వశ్చన్ నారద, ఓ నారద
What are your credentials? What are your qualifications? How do you
deserve? 64 విద్యలు గణమారగ నేర్చినట్టి ఆనారదుడే నిరవధిక శాంతి గనుగొని పరమానందమును తాను పొందగలేదే. 64 విద్యలు నేర్చినటువంటి వాడు నారదుడు.
నారద లెర్న్డ్ ఆల్ ది 64 టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్.
ఏదో ఒకటి రెండు సబ్జెక్ట్స్ కాదవి.
నాట్ మియర్లీ వన్ ఆర్ టూ సబ్జెక్ట్స్.
64 సబ్జెక్ట్స్.
64 సబ్జెక్ట్స్.
అంతేకాక 6 శాస్త్రములు 4 వేదములు 24 ఉపాంగములు కూడా చదివినటువంటి వాడు.
6 శాస్త్రస్ అండ్ 4 వేదాస్ అండ్ అదర్ ఉపాంగాస్ ఆల్సో ఈ స్టడీ.
ఇన్ని విద్యలు నేర్చి ఏమి ప్రయోజనం?
వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూజ్ ఇన్ లెర్నింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్?
ఎన్ని విద్యలు నేర్చి ఏమి ఫలం?
వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూజ్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్వైరింగ్ ఆల్ నాలెడ్జ్?
తన్నొసటవ్రాత తప్పించ ఎవరి వశం?
హూ కెన్ మేక్ యూ ఎస్కేప్ ఫ్రమ్ డెస్టినీ?
చెడ్డ బుద్ధులు తన తల చేరినేని.
ఇఫ్ బ్యాడ్ ఫీలింగ్స్ ఎంటర్ ఇన్ యువర్ మైండ్.
రెండు బారులు బుద్ధులు బండబారు.
ది మైండ్ ది ఇంటెలెక్ట్ ఆల్సో బికమ్స్ డ్రై
రాక్.
ఇట్ బికమ్స్ లైక్ డెడ్ రాక్.
కనుక నారదునికి అశాంతి రావడానికి కారణం ఏమిటి?
వాట్స్ ద రీజన్ ఫార్ ద లాస్ ఆఫ్ పీస్?
నేను విద్యావంతుడను.
ఐఎమ్ అన్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ మ్యాన్.
నన్ను నేను సర్వశాస్త్ర ప్రవీణులను అనేటువంటి అహంకారమే ఈ దీనినంతా కూడా మరుగుపరుస్తూ వచ్చింది.
దిస్ ఈగో దట్ ఈస్ అన్ ఎక్స్పర్ట్ ఇన్ ఆల్ శాస్త్రాస్ అండ్ వేదాస్.
ఈ అశాంతికి మూల కారణము అహంకారమే.
ఫర్ ద లాస్ ఆఫ్ పీస్ ద కాజ్ ఇస్ ఈగో.
కనుక అన్ని విన్నటువంటి యొక్క సనత్ కుమారుడు,
సనత్ కుమార్ హావింగ్ లిసన్ టు హోల్,
నీ విద్యల యొక్క ప్రభావం ఇంతేనా అని కేవలం పెదవి విరుచుకున్నాడు.
Having listened to all this, he felt, oh, this is thing that you acquired, having learnt all the 64 types of
knowledge. కేవలము మాట మాత్రమే అన్నాడు.
This merely only a word, he said.
ఈ డిగ్రీ సంతకుడు మాటలు మాత్రమే.
The degrees are only merely words.
ఇది కేవలము ఏమాత్రము నామ మాత్రమే.
They are only for namesake.
ఈ నామమునకు అతీతమైనటువంటి కొన్ని ఉన్నాయి.
There are certain things beyond name, oh Narada.
నారదుడు చాలా ఆశ్చర్యపడ్డాడు.
నారద వాస్ అస్టాండ్.
ఈ 64 విద్యలు నేర్చినటువంటి వాడిని కేవలం ఇది నామ మాత్రం అంటున్నాడే, దీన్నంత ఇంత సులభంగా త్రోసివేస్తున్నాడే అని ఆశ్చర్యపడ్డాడు.
హీ వాస్ టేకెన్ అబ్యాక్ బికాస్ హీ హాజ్ నాట్ కౌంటెడ్ మై 64 టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ సబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఐ హావ్ లెర్న్డ్. హీ హాజ్ సింప్లీ బ్రష్డ్ ఇట్ అసైడ్.
నామము కంటే గొప్పది మరొకటి ఉన్నది నారద అన్నాడు.
హీ సెడ్ బియాండ్ నేమ్ దట్ సంథింగ్ గ్రేటర్.
నామము కంటే అనగా గొప్పది వాక్కు.
More than the name, the word is important.
Vaaku kante goppadi manassu.
More than the word, the mind is important.
Manassu kante goppadi sankalpamu.
More than the mind, the will is great.
Sankalpam kante goppadi chittamu.
More than the will,
chittamu
the chittamu
kante goppadi dhyanamu. Dhyanam.
More than chittamu, the meditation is more.
Dhyanamu kante goppadi jnanamu.
Beyond meditation is jnanamu greater.
Jnanamu kante goppadi neeru.
More than jnanam, the water is
neeru kante goppadi tejasu.
Greater than water is tejasu.
Tejasu kante goppadi pranamu.
Greater than tejasu is pranam.
Ee pranatvanni artham cheskunnappude tattvam asi neeku artham avutundi annadu.
When you understand the nature, the principle of life, then only you can understand the principle of tattvam asi.
Kanuka pranatvanni manam mottamotta artham cheskovali.
Therefore we should understand the life nature.
If Swami is going to explain what he said in those last 2-3 lines next week, then it's going to be an absolutely wrong place to stop this discourse at, because what Swami said in that last line was so profound that, of course, we'll come to that eventually. Swami spoke initially about, again, Upanishads and how Upanishads have this knack of condensing very, very complex philosophies and concepts into very simple ideas. And, Tattvamasi, Swami says, is also one like that, where a complex idea is condensed and given in a simple sentence. Then Swami goes on to speak about, at one point Swami says so emphatically, when one resolves to reach the glorious divinity, and one perseveres in spiritual energy with faith and devotion, one will definitely achieve the goal.
Yes, that is something very beautiful. In fact, that reassurance. That reassurance, you know,
as I was just listening to this, suddenly my mind just went back many years back when we had gone as school children to Kodaikanal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are two rooms. The inside room where Swami is sitting with all the students whom he has brought to Kodaikanal. Right. So they are able to sit right next to him, right around him. And we who had come on our own, we were sitting on the outside room.
Okay.
We were sitting in the outside room, and I was looking through the window. And I was thinking, wow, how fortunate these two boys are. They're sitting right next to Swami. And, you know, that mind, that scene just flashed in my mind just now when you were saying Upanishad. There was Swami. Of course, it happens again in Trayi sessions. You're right at the feet of Swami. The students had that opportunity to sit right at the feet of Swami. Some of them actually pressing his feet, and some of them and just, you're literally looking up to him. Upanishad, you're sitting right there. What is Swami talking about? The greatest of truths. The greatest of truths. And that Upanishad, you know, this is that visual scene just comes to my mind. It's so beautiful. And, you know, when Swami reassures that, yes, with faith and devotion, you can achieve it. That is so beautiful, because how many people are there to give you that complete knowledge and say, here it is. If you have the capacity, you can take it.
Right. And, you know, it's... again goes back to that magical word Swami often uses, no, Shraddha. Swami says so much is in that Shraddha van labhate jnanam. You know, you don't need anything else. You just, all that you need is earnestness. I've been thinking about this because there's a kind of a row which is going on. Okay. Where you have one Professor Pollock from America who has been roped in to translate some of the ancient works of the Upanishads and the Vedas and all that. He's a scholar, there's no doubt about that. He's a Sanskrit scholar, he's a scholar of Indology and all that. A lot of Indian groups which are having problems with him being in that group, because in the past he has been very critical about some of these works.
Okay.
You know, he has spoken a little, not in very glowing terms about Upanishads and this one. You know, when you look at it, you know, here is this body of work, be it Bhagavad Gita or be it Upanishads. I think the first thing is, you have to believe that there is something of essence in this.
Correct.
You know, if you start your journey of exploring this text with skepticism, it is like, you know, you have a needle in a haystack. You don't have the desire to find the needle, but you're searching for it.
Searching for it.
I mean, the chances of you finding it is so less. I mean, on the other hand, if you have the Upanishads and you start with this Shraddha which Swami is saying, you know, Swami has told you, suppose Swami gives you Upanishad and says all your answers will be answered in this Upanishad. And you start your exploration with that faith, I will definitely find it. I think you will definitely find it.
Right.
So it is so important to, you know, start with that Shraddha, start with that complete belief that, yes, this can give me that ultimate experience.
In fact, in some other place, Swami has mentioned another meaning of the word Upanishad. He says, Upa means studying. Okay, you're learning, you're studying, you're acquiring. Nishta, with steadfastness.
Right.
Upanishad. So he said, with nishta, with steadfastness. And shad is when you actually attain that ultimate reality. So in the word Upanishad itself, there is nishta, there is shraddha that is required.
Right. That has to be. I mean, this simple thing of Upanishad, Swami says, no, you sit close. You sit, you know, you sit down.
Yes.
You know, so much it means, it is, when you say sit close, it's not necessary, it is not simply that physical proximity. You know, when you speak about the Trayi sessions and Kodai, it was not just sitting next to Swami, you know, it's that intimacy which was there, as, you know, Kalidasa Etzim describes, as we were saying in one of the first few episodes. He says, a teacher is one who is so desperate to save the, you know, disciple, who's so much obsessed about the welfare of that student. He is only an acharya. You know, anybody can be a teacher, but who's an acharya is that who has that. And, you know, that was the passion with which Swami would say. And the same passion with which the students would go and sit. Because I remember I was talking to one old student a few years ago. He was saying that I think one of the Kodai trips, or after Swami came back from Kodai, Swami was invited for lunch at somebody's house. And there was a huge dining table. We know how the spread is when Swami is invited. And at the head of the table, they had arranged it for Swami. Okay, and Swami went and sat on this chair. And then a flush chair, very beautiful chair. But one thing which they forgot to do was the chair was a little taller for Swami. Okay, so when Swami went and sat on it, Swami's feet were not reaching the ground and they had not put any footstool.
Okay.
Swami did not complain, as always. You know, Swami went and sat. The moment Swami sat there, you know, the two students on either side of Swami's chair, they noticed this. Immediately they went and sat under the table so that Swami can put his feet on their lap.
Oh, so beautiful.
You know, there was no conversation which happened. You know, Swami sat and his feet did not reach. Immediately these two boys went and went under the table. And Swami also very, you know, silently put his... You know, that intimacy, when you say Upanishad, you go sit next to the Guru, near the Guru. It's not just physically near the Guru. It is with that, you know, that fondness, with that intimacy with that master.
Exactly. In fact, these scenes just well up, even for a couple of months, you know, in the Kulwant Hall, Swami would sit and keep talking, and, you know, people would just sit and listen. And then
even in,
informal.
You know, even in Trai, that scene of Swami will come and sit in the Jula, and invariably there will be a few boys standing on top. You know, Swami will say, come, you know, make space.
Come closer. You start with Emi Samacharam. And, you know, Swami has said that when the Guru is in that state, tat sthan, and the Sishya is in that tvam sthan. So he says, the Sishya has the right to ask questions to the Guru. And the Guru has to provide the answers.
Right.
Because he is in that place. So it comes to the same thing. He says, when you have that Shraddha, you will attain it. When you ask your questions, when you present your difficulties, he is bound to give you answers. He is bound to clear all your doubts. Because he is in that Guru sthan and you are in the Sishya sthan. So he says, the right of a student is to ask, and the right of the Guru is to give the solution. How beautiful it is.
And then, of course, this last part, as we were saying, where Swami puts it as a dialogue between Sanat Kumara and Narada.
Right.
Narada is so lost and he is not in peace within. And then Swami says he has so much of knowledge. And what a beautiful this one. You know, all your degrees, Swami says, it's only a name. You know, all the degree is only a title, it's only a name. You are not going to carry it. And the way Swami says that what is more important than the name, you know, is speech. Swami says vak is more important. Almost like saying that all the knowledge that you have gathered, if it cannot be reflected in your speech,
correct,
then, I mean, what is the point? You know, if you're not able to share it with somebody, if you're not able to pass it on, then it's dead knowledge. And then Swami says, it should not stop at the level of speech. Greater than speech is the mind. I mean, if your mind does not get purified with the knowledge that you have,
right,
then Swami would say the Chinnakatha, you know, that the idol which you put the, you know, you they come with a, I'm not getting the word, they take a metal wire and he puts it through the ear and it comes through the other ear. Swami, the king will say that, no, this is not a good, idol. The next one is he puts it through the ear and comes out through the mouth. He says it's better but not the best.
Wires, just a
right.
Wire.
And then he says the third one is put through the ear and goes inside. He says this is the best. So it's like that. Swami says, you know, it should reflect in speech, but even better than it reflecting in speech is when it results in the purification of one's own mind. Swami said that mind is greater. And Swami says it's not just mind, but it is the memory, the chitta aspect.
The will. The will rules the mind.
Right.
Then after the will comes the memory. Chitta is more powerful than the will.
Right, right.
And then we are lost. And then after the will, he says meditation.
Meditation.
Then comes the next level is jnana. And then comes water.
Right.
Water is better than wisdom.
Water is better than wisdom.
So that remains...
Right. And then tejas is greater than water.
and then life force. Prana is greater than brilliance.
My God. We'll just have to hope that Swami clarifies that part. in the next part of the discourse.
True. And if you understand that life force, you will understand Tattvamasi. You know, there is some connection with what Swami had told in the 1990 series as well.
Okay.
About the Hridayam.
Right.
Hridayam. Mm. He was saying, what is Hridayam? What is heart? That which is omnipresent, that is which is present everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you relate yourself to that Hridayam, that heart, then you are in sync with the cosmic...
Right. I mean, if you ask me, that concept of the heart, I think, is the most misunderstood of all, you know, when people so flippantly use that idea, you know, I feel from my heart, you know, my heart indicated that this was the soulmate. Oh my God. You know, Swami would really just rubbish all those things. He would say, you know, it's all that your mind, which has its own likes and dislikes, playing up games with you. All attractions and all such feelings of desires can arise only from the mind. You know, what comes from the heart is pure clarity. What comes from the heart, that's what Swami says. You know, if you can turn, as you were saying, turn to the heart, it'll again come back to this Tattvamasi, because there is no difference. The very idea that you feel that I want so and so, or I want this object, it only comes from duality, and it's not coming from the heart.
In fact, this Tattvamasi itself, Swami gives a very, very beautiful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains it, it's like, our life is like a rose plant, he says.
Okay.
And you want to pluck the rose. Okay. So first you see the plant, that is concentration.
Mm-hmm.
You see the flower, you see the rose, you see that's the concentration. Then you pluck the rose carefully, that is contemplation. And you offer it to the Lord, that is meditation.
Right.
And
right.
He says, when you do that, when you offer it to the Lord, then that will enable you to realize Tattvamasi. So he says that when you also, when you have that rose in your hand, which is pure love. So he says the thorn is the thorns of desires, and then on and lust, and then the leaves are all the gunas, and the branches are all relationships. So you get rid of all that, then you have only the rose in your hand, and when you offer it to the Lord, that will enable you to reach Tattvamasi. It's only Swami who can do that.
Right. And, you know, there is no explanation from Swami which is complete, which we could say that no explanation is complete if it does not culminate in bhakti and love.
Prema, that's
right?
True.
It's absolutely. Because this morning we were discussing on another topic where Swami says, you know, you can do enough seva, you can go and serve everybody, but unless and until that seva transforms your heart to believe that, you know, this is, I'm serving the Lord in all these forms. It doesn't, you know, get complete. So there is nothing, karma does not find fulfillment, jnana does not find fulfillment unless it, you know, finally blossoms into this love. And Swami said, no. I mean, that's what it is when you avoid the thorn of desires, it is that jnana aspect, you know, you sit and you kind of discriminate all the time. But at the end of it, it has to be an offering. It has to be out of love and offering.
I mean, from all that we discussed today, Omkara and Soham and Upanishad, such profound thoughts and such, you know, each is an ocean in itself. But still this sentence intrigues me, like Om is present in each one of us as silence.
Silence.
And I think each one has to get into that zone of silence, and only then we can experience that. In fact, Swami told one of the singers, he said, what is the Shruti you are practicing in?
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, listen to the waves in the ocean and sing along with that, in that Shruti, in that scale. That is Omkara. So, you know, that Omkara is actually present in everything in this cosmos. And when we vibrate with that in our silence, that is when we silence the mind, I suppose, then you are in perfect sync with Omkara.
Something very similar was told by Guru Karaikudimani when we spoke to him.
Okay.
You know, he spoke of a very, very different take on what beat is. Because, you know, he is, if you speak to him, He is the devotee of rhythm.
Yes, very
you know,
true.
Rhythm is his form of divinity, and he is a devotee of rhythm.
And for us, he is the god of rhythm.
Right, you know, he is the god of rhythm. Because he would say that.
Mm.
And in that, he shared a poem which he had written mm-hmm. in Tamil, and in that he says, rhythm is not the beat,
mm.
it is the silence between the beat.
Oh,
he says that is the rhythm.
Mm.
Most of us, you know, concentrate on the sound, but the real rhythm is that silence which repeats itself between sounds.
Beautiful, beautiful. How amazing.
Right. So I think we'll have to end the session with that. Dear listeners, we hope that you'll definitely come back for the next week, because definitely, after being 10 years, 15 years, 20 years with Swami and listening to discourses, still each one of this is like a bolt from the sky.
Right.
Right. It's so enlightening, and we hope you're all enjoying as much as Sai Prakash and myself are. So we offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. And thank you all for being with us. Do join us again next week. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu for the last episode of today, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.